Hello and welcome to the Providence College Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Kay, and I'm joined by producer Chris Judge of the Class of 2005. Here on the Providence College Podcast, we bring you interesting stories from the Fryer family. This week, we're talking with Deborah Lopez of the Class of 2021. Last year, Lopez, a global studies major and economics minor from Lynn, Massachusetts, was named a Newman Civic Fellow by Campus Compact in recognition of the community service she's performed for organizations as a first-generation student and as a member of an immigrant community. Deborah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
Now, you've spent several years as a Feinstein Community Fellow. Could you tell us about the fellowship and the organizations you've served?
Yeah, so the Community Feinstein Fellowship that I started off, I got interested in it my freshman year. And the Feinstein Fellowship is really just served to network with other Providence nonprofits and really just like be more than just like an intern, but also to be kind of like an ambassador for both Providence College and also the organization that you work with. So specifically my sophomore year, my sophomore and freshman year, I worked with two organizations called College Visions, which is a nonprofit organization that's aimed for college access for first generation college high school students, and really just helping them with like college applications, financial aid, and also just advocacy on their end. And for me, that was like really important to work with an organization where it's like key identity factors that I shared. So for me, it was really like fruitful to work with an organization such as College Visions, just because for me to even get to Providence College, I definitely used a college access program to help me apply just even here, because as first gen, my parents didn't know how to apply. And then the other organization that I worked with was the AMOR, which stands for Alliance to Mobilize Our Resistance. And that's a small grassroots organization here in Providence that directly works with like members in the Providence community in immigration advocacy, but also it would work as a coalition with others, nonprofits. And their efforts when I was there, our efforts were just like helping families just advocate for themselves, finding them mental health resources, but also locating them to in-house lawyers, with also putting an emphasis on being there for community. Sometimes we would write letters to stop deportations on family community members in the local Providence area. So for me, that was also another aspect why I was so interested to work in an organization like this. Just because, again, they served a population that highly resembled where I'm from in Lynn, Massachusetts, and I wanted to continue those efforts here in Providence.
That's fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the Feinstein Community Fellowship is structured? Because it is a program of the Feinstein Institute for Public Service here at Providence.
Yeah, so the Feinstein Institute, the fellowship, the way that it's organized is that you apply the year before. So I applied my freshman year, and you go through like this interview process with both Carlene Fonseca and Melissa Lombardo. And then from there, once chosen, you have like, there's like a list of community partners that that are specifically looking for like a fellow. And then from there, it's kind of doing like a match process. So you pick three and you get matched with them. And then once you get chosen with your community partner, typically there's like an idea or project or mission that you would have to take on for the year. So whether that be like just like a project that the organization had already came up with, or it's a project you come up for the organization, you typically would work like dedicate your time towards that. And then aside from what you would be typically working with a community organization, also there's, I mean, I think now it's like a little bit, like it has changed, but the structure is that you would have like either a monthly or biweekly meeting with like the other cohort of students in the fellowship. And typically there would be like guest speakers that would come in from the community, either from the organization, the other organizations, or just even like one time we had Mayor Elorza, is that how you say his name? Come and just give talks. But then also, it's also a space where you could brainstorm your ideas and also with other fellows, see if there's something that you could bridge to. So that's like another one of the cool aspects of the Feinstein Fellowship.
So you are working with immigrant communities and with, you know, helping students with college access. What are some of the other programs? Because I think there's a variety of organizations that have sponsored fellows, right?
Yeah. There's other organizations like Breakthrough Providence. So a lot of them have to do with like youth development. I know there's other ones where like students are able to work with like Lifespan and do health advocacy. The fellowship tends to be pretty broad. So it's like literally anything you could think of, they're there. I know one of most of the key areas have to do with like education, health equity, and like racial injustice, because they also have like another organization called DARE that likes to work with like these issues. So I think organizations that ally with the Feinstein issues, the mission is the organizations that they would work with.
How long is the commitment? Because you worked for two organizations it felt like a very significant
moment
for you to serve as a fellow.
Yeah, so I think like for those organizations, typically from like 6 to like 10 hours, but typically I would usually work like at each organization from like 6 to 8. And honestly, for me, it never really felt like that much work because these were things that I love doing. I love serving my community. So for me, if anything, like it served more as like networking and just like seeing people, seeing friends. Like I never really felt like a job, like that I was doing something like aside from school. I think if anything, as crazy as it sounds, is like it lightened my experience at the time, because like I was able to focus on other things aside from like homework and being on this campus environment.
I think this is something important to mention, is that Feinstein Fellows receive a stipend, correct, for each semester that they serve?
Yeah, so the stipend is $1,000 to a semester, but even like also additionally, like I also qualify for a work study fund, so that I was also to tap into that, so I was able to get additional funding for the Feinstein Fellowship.
And what are some of the things that you feel like you learned? I mean, did some of the work you were doing, do you feel like it related to your coursework as a global studies student as well?
Yeah, so definitely. As a global studies major, my main interests are definitely like economic development and also like immigration advocacy. And I think some of the course, like some of the projects that I worked with, like really shaped the way I went about like picking my courses the following years to come. I think also someone who is a global studies major, so I have like a lot of systems thinking, as we like to say in global studies. So like I feel like a lot of the times, like I just don't think about one aspect, like especially when I was working in colleges. If anyone ever needed resources, like we would always try to find them like outside of like college visions. And I think for me, having that embedded of systems thinking and also just thinking about things more broadly and how can we make this small problem like be like a little chain reaction to like have better like effect in the community, is definitely that has been instilled since like global studies. And I think working with these organizations has definitely kind of motivated to shape and think about what I want to do in the future, how I want to make change, how can I be a social agent. Just because for me, it's very easy to think about like, yeah, a job, you can do something corporate. But I think for me, being a fellow just made me relationship oriented and want to be a people person and get to know people's stories and kind of work with that. And I think that has really served like a foundational thing that I don't know if it wasn't for the fellowship, if I would be aware of like how people oriented I am. I don't know if that would have been something I would have found out post-grad and been like, oh, yes, I am. But I think for this experience, I've been really, really blessed that I was able to find out what are my interests and what are not my interests, what I like doing and what I don't.
It helped you with a little bit of self-discovery, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you benefited from a college access program yourself, and that makes me curious, what made you choose Providence College? Why was Providence College a good fit for you when you were in that place?
Well, when applying to colleges, I think this was like the only school that I applied that was really close by to Massachusetts, because I applied to a lot of schools in the South, like North Carolina, or just like in areas that are really far away. And then when I went to visit the schools, I realized I don't think I really want to be that far. And I think just even with my college access advisor, because I did it through this organization with Girls Inc., which is like just women empowerment. It's like a nationally like recognized organization, but there was like a chapter in my hometown of Lynn, Massachusetts. But ultimately that college advisor took the time and drove me down to Providence and took me to the campus and just took me on a tour. I met with like, I think it was like student ambassadors at the time. And they just talked about their experience. And as a first gen student, I never knew that there was like opportunities like this. I thought it was just like, you just apply, you get your letter and you choose from the letters. I never really thought like you go to the campus, you talk to people. And so I think just even having that opportunity of having my advisor, shout out to Patience if she might be listening to this, but she just, the opportunities of her just bringing me here, I think, and being on this campus and having like that security from someone like this is like a good place, ultimately made me choose Providence, but also just because of the financial aid, I think it made a lot of sense to come to Providence College, and I don't regret it at the end. So like, I think that having those initial steps definitely led me in the right direction.
Well, it seems like you've gotten to accomplish so much and pack so much into your 4 years. I mean, it's tough to ask anyone about study abroad during, you know, we're still in the midst of the COVID pandemic. We're not, I don't know that we're, I feel like we're hopefully close to the end, but study abroad is something that has been so impacted by all the travel restrictions and everything really has affected it. But most students would consider themselves lucky if they got to travel to one country for study abroad through Providence College. But your list is much longer than that. Can you tell us about your study abroad experiences, please?
So for my junior year, although it got cut short, I had the intentions of going abroad the entire year. And the countries that I was able to go to were Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Peru, Uruguay, and Spain. And I chose two programs specifically of like multi-locations, just because I think for me, as a first gen, I will always emphasize that for me to go semester abroad was kind of like a stretch, but I also think just the opportunity like of working with like people in the Global Education Center to make it possible to even go for a year with the help of like my global studies department really made it more of a fruitful experience. So I also, again, was my programs were shaped on like things that interest me. So they were all social justice oriented. Like a lot of it had to do with like urban planning and justice for urban planning and how people interact with spatiality. And then my other program for the fall semester was for global economies. And then for me specifically, the countries that I chose, to me was really important to be in Latin America and not really travel in Europe, just because for me, linguistically, it was important to me to be able to communicate and like know my surroundings. Even if I don't know my surroundings, just be able to effectively communicate linguistically was very important to me. And I think just even going abroad for an entire year and having that be possible, but not just only like people at Providence College, but also my family and having that support, just like made it really, like just really made it really important and like beautiful.
Could you tell us about some of the places where you traveled, or did you live with host families, and what were, you mentioned that was it your fall semester that you did the kind of more economic development program? Tell us about the work you were doing.
Okay, yeah. So my fall semester, I was doing this program called Emerging Economies. And so that one was specifically in Argentina, in Chile, in Peru. And that program, I did stay with a host family. So in every country, we did like relocate to a new family. It was like that one was a little bit more fast paced because every 6 weeks, I think we were like moving from like country to country. And there with that, we took 4 like fundamental classes in economic development. One of my really cool classes was my emerging economies class, where we were able to go to like local federal banks in all countries and also get to meet with like local economists and kind of like work on like problem solutions on scenarios that would be happening in the country. So that was really cool. And then also there was opportunity to gain internships. And then the internships that they would put you would be with like local, like finance companies. And it would be like, a couple hours a week, really, really minuscule like that. But then also we would have like a lot of field trips going to like local NGOs, understanding how, and then also going to like the city hall offices to understand more of like the city's like infrastructure and urban planning. So that was really cool.
And what about the spring? I mean, I'm imagining you had to come back in March as most of our students abroad did last spring, but where were you able to travel?
So spring semester, I was lucky enough to travel to Brazil during Carnival. So that was a really, really cool experience that I think not many people here at Providence would ever get to say, being part of like a bloco, because like I know like my organization made it possible to be part of like one of the Carnival parades. So I think that was like another really cool experience. And then I was still able to go to Spain, but even though that could cut short, I was still able to go abroad for like a month and a half. And that specific semester, I also continued a comparative research, my own independent research of doing how women interact in urban sports across various cities. So originally I had intended of, I interviewed a lot, it was like a lot of ethnographic interviewing with women in Sao Paulo and how they choose, how in roller derbies and like why they participated in that. And to continue on, it was supposed to continue into Barcelona and Cape Town because we were all supposed to study abroad there. But because of the pandemic, I was able to fulfill that. But I also thought it was a really good experience because as someone who was already traveling for so long, I kind of took it as a break. And ultimately, to an extent, selfishly, I was really excited to go home because I think for me, I missed home. Even though it was really cool to see all these new locations, like the traveling of picking up and going like every other week was like a lot. So I think for me, it was like really nice to go back home. And I think I'm really grateful for the people I met my spring semester, especially because like I think even meeting the new faculty in each location, I think provided a new sense of global awareness that that I really like value. And so I think for me, if I had to pick my favorite semester of abroad, it would definitely be my spring semester.
It's so surprising to be able to say this, but that's really international experience. So at Providence, you got to take one more, you participated in first learning trip, correct?
Yes. I participated in the Global Service of Justice Across Borders with Dr. Kara Sabolko. And that class was my first class that like talked about like an international component. And I think for me, that was a really special trip because that was the first time I ever went to like Mexico and saw like the border and really understood the significance of borders. I think being from like an immigrant community and being in transnational family, like a transnational family member, not being able to see family because of borders. I think for me, like taking an academic class, like just aside from like what my personal interpretation of the border was, but also seeing kind of like the significance and symbolism of actually being at hand at the border. And then also just learn more about policies that kind of put into effect kind of the separation between families was a really like highly impactful experience that I had my sophomore year that really, if anything, I think if it wasn't for that class, I don't think I would have gone abroad for an entire year. I think that class definitely pushed me academically, emotionally, and even physically, because even like the international component, when we're at Mexico for a week, we're helping build the foundations of like people's homes in Tijuana, Mexico, through this organization called Esperanza International, which is aimed to like kind of have like a community network where people are able to build their homes by the border. So I think for me, being part of a class and being part of like a classroom full of like-minded students to think critically about like our borders and our like in the United States and our relationship with Mexico, like I think for me, again, just like kind of emphasize like the need to like think outside of our communities. And I think that's why for me, whatever community I put myself in, I don't want to like bubble myself in like a specific area. So like even here like at Providence College, like I always wanted to like go out into the Providence community, get to know the community around me, and just, it's very easy to be limit yourself to like this college identity that for me, I always like, even when looking for schools, like I wanted to know how I can still be part of the community, still be an active member aside from just being a college student. So for sure that class has like really made me think about like, how do you enter and exit communities and how can you make effective change?
And so just thinking about justice across this class, so it was a spring semester class and you had all this academic, you know, meeting several times a week to talk about these and the community surrounding borders, and then week experience in, and did you stay in San Diego and then?
Yeah, so we only stayed in San Diego for a night. So we fly into San Diego, and then the following day it's like, so we can have the effect of like what it like the significance of like crossing the border. So we take the train down to the San Diego border and we go to one of like the Mexico like crossing points, and then we go through there. But initially we really do stay in Tijuana, and then we just fly back, like we just cross back to go back to the airport the next day in San Diego.
But so after studying about it and thinking about it like conceptually for months, then you actually go and experience it yourself, like what it's like, yes, to cross that border and, mm-hmm, and witness it. So Deborah, you were named a Newman Civic Fellow in 2020, and that was while you were abroad. You probably got the notification that the, mm-hmm, announcement that was happening, but, I'm curious what that experience was like and how the fact that this whole last year has been so much has been shifted to a virtual experience, you know, what changed and how did it work for you to be a Newman Civic Fellow this year?
Yeah, so the New Mexico Fellows, what I was notified in the spring, has been like a really like cool networking experience, because as a New Mexico Fellow, it's kind of modeled very similarly to kind of like the Feinstein Fellow, in the sense that we meet like maybe like 3-4 times a semester. And then at those opportunities, we're given like a lot of like workshop preparation to participate in our own like active dialogue like on campus. So like that's kind of like been the overall theme for this year's New Mexico Fellowship. So it's how to do like deliberative dialogue. And so the way that the structure of the program has been is just you go to these like workshop meetings, and we talked about deliberative dialogue, the potential like topics, and it's also just served as a space for also Compact Fellows to talk about the work that they're doing on campus, and then also it's also used as an opportunity to network, like, hey, I'm doing this on my campus, like who would be interested in like participating or having their campus either organization or the community partner that they might be specifically working in, like how can you contribute to this cause? And although I think this year has definitely been like a little bit more difficult with like Zoom, most of the events that I had to host were through Zoom. So it was definitely not, it's not as interactive as I personally would have wanted, like if it were in person. I know like on my end this year, like I've been working on like a lot of like community conversations surrounding topics of like income inequity like here in like Providence, also just trying to find build partnerships with here with like local community organizations with Providence. I think definitely this pandemic has just posed challenges on like virtual interactions, just because like there's just like a lot of Zoom fatigue. Like I also feel it to myself. But I think those who do still show up, we're able to provide very fruitful conversations of how we can be social change agents here, not even just like in our own, like here in Providence, but also in our own communities. So those have been kind of one of like the really cool like aspects of the New Mexico Civic Fellows. Even this past semester, like I just had our last conference, which was like 2 weeks ago. And that also was like another opportunity to reconnect and also just like network with other fellows on how like to continue the sustainable, like just sustain their projects. So that has been like a really cool thing of like networking and talking to other New Mink Civic Fellows.
As you think back on your years at PC, are there classes or professors or experiences that stand out as having been really memorable or left a big impact on you?
Yeah, for sure. I think the a professor and even just like faculty that really left a big like imprint on my last 4 years has definitely been Dr. Kara Saboko, Carlene Fonseca, and Melissa Mardo. And I think it's important to also recognize that these are three women that really have made a lasting impact. So like, I really want to emphasize that. But I think for me, the reasons why they've been so impactful is just like, they make me think so critically of not even of just like myself, but like, just like communities, like how can we better, like, but be better, like activists, or just like, even like, how can we have like fruitful conversations that lead to change. And so I think just like even having those conversations like really shaped and like even the courses I choose, and even just like what I choose to involve myself in, whether that's like in works in immigration advocacy or like youth development, or even just for me to think more globally, has, I feel like through my relationships with them, I guess has really just like looking at the trajectory of what I've been on has really actually shaped the way I think and choose to be a global citizen. So I think for sure, like these, and specifically just even the classes I take in global studies, like when it comes to themes of like racial injustice or like equity issues, like I think definitely has shaped the way I choose to think about the world.
Deborah, I don't want to neglect to ask you, it sounds like you have a pretty fun way when all the traps that with all the traveling that you have done in your 4 years at PC, it sounds like you have a pretty interesting way of checking out new cities. Can you tell us about rollerblading and when you started and what made you decide to pack them as you traveled through Latin America and
Europe? Yeah. So fortunately, I wasn't able to pack my rollerblades, but I would always find a way to rent them out, or like if my whole siblings had rollerblades, I'm like, hey, can I use your rollerblades? But I started rollerblading at the age of like 10, I think. And rollerblading for me is like another way to kind of just always explore, not even just a new city, but like just like neighborhoods. Where I'm from, like I really, like we live by close by the water. So I've been really lucky of always just packing up my rollerblades and like riding around the sidewalks. And I think for me, like there's the act of rollerblading just feels like such a liberating experience of being able to be aware of your surroundings, but also just to kind of like let your rollerblades take you wherever you want. So when I was abroad, I would rent out a lot of roller skates and go roller skate around like various like parks. And I think just being in Latin America, there's like such an emphasis on being outside and being outside with your friends that I was like, well, I love being outside. And if I was at home, I would so love to rollerblade. So once I started rollerblading in my first country in Argentina, I tried to make it an effort to do it in every city that I went to. And I think, again, it was just like another cool experience to, I think like with rollerblades too, because it's just yourself, like you're able to get into small areas that typically you wouldn't be able to get into with like a car or on the bus. So like, I think definitely it's like another way where I felt like I was able to like liberate myself, but also bring an aspect of home with me, even in like a new place, just like the act of like, who would I go rollerblade back home with would be like my siblings. So just to think about it in those terms, I think, I don't know, it's like something that I forever want to do the rest of my life is like rollerblade in every city to have like an association of like two things that I love, which is to travel and to rollerblade.
So can you tell us about some of the places where you've been able to rollerblade? Are there like famous parks or?
Yeah. So one time I was able to rollerblade down Nueve de Mayo, which is like this pretty long street in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I like the street itself like stretches about like maybe like 20 lanes. So I was able to roll right across that. So that was pretty cool. I was able to rollerblade in one of like the centers of Lima, Peru, and kind of like just like ride around the cathedral and just kind of be able to look at that. So that has like a really cool aspect. And then in Santiago, Chile, I was able to rollerblade a couple of times around Plaza Italia. And yeah, so I would make it an effort to just like drive, roller skate around really big, huge, like, parks and plazas that, you know, kind of gave me the accessibility to rollerblade in.
So Deborah, what is next for you after commencement? What are your plans after leaving PC?
Yeah, so after leaving PC, I'm going to return back home to Massachusetts, but also I'll be returning back home in Guatemala to visit my grandparents, my grandmother. For me, I really owe a lot of my achievements to my parents who migrated from Guatemala, but I also want to share those achievements with like family members who otherwise wouldn't be able to come just due to borders. So for me, it's really important to go back and spend that time with like my family members and really get to just spend time with them. And then hopefully when I come back, I'll be in pursuit of job searching, hopefully again in like the nonprofit sector. And I also want to make the big move to move to Texas. So I think that's another environment that I want to immerse myself in and also just, I don't know, have a new different experience because I've always grown up here in the Northeast. So I'm down to try the South. So yeah, those are my next plans after commencement.
And why Texas? How did you hit upon Texas as a destination?
I think it's like Texas was like one of those like things that I always heard about when I was like a younger kid. I thought about it mostly in terms of like cowboys and cowgirls. But then just doing my own research and even this past year, this past semester, I took the flight out to Austin, Texas and in Houston just to kind of see if like I would actually see myself in these communities and just like the heavy like Latino population and just overall just being out in the big open because it's so huge over there. I'm like, yeah, I really like this. So it's always been something in the back of my mind that I'm like, oh, it would be cool to live in Texas. So that's where I'm set on now.
Well, there is a very strong alumni club in the Austin area, and I'm sure that your fellow Friars will welcome you with open arms. Mm-hmm. So you'll have plenty of fellow Friars to network with when you arrive. Well, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us. It's been so great to learn more about your experience at PC.
All right, thank you.
Subscribe to the Providence College Podcast in all the usual places, including iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as your smart speaker. If you like what you hear, please review and share with others. Thanks for listening, and go Friars.